then let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah, she's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me A. Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to do that again for y'all this week. So y'all hold on. Y'all stay tuned. Y'all know how we do each and every week. But before I do anything, y'all know how I start off each show. I always give thanks to the people that download the audio version of this platform. I definitely appreciate y'all. Y'all got y'all boy rolling out there on Spotify, on Apple Music, everywhere that you stream audio versions of platforms. You know what I'm saying? And we there, and y'all there too. And y'all all over the world. So thank y'all, right? And I got to say that because, like I say, you know, we know how this thing go. When it come down to going viral and all that other stuff, you know, it got to do with this visual part. But for people to really go out there and check and want to hear what you got to say and they want to hear what your guest talking about, that's what's fly, because they're not looking at you. And of course, they do go and find us later on when they get to stationary positions, because a lot of times when people listening to us on that part, they be driving, because it's a lot of people that work in the auto, you know, in that industry where they be wanting to hear some stuff, you know. And the good thing about this platform, and that's another thing too, because I know a lot of people been noticing, like, yo, Ra, you know, everything that's going on with your platform, we could see, right? We could see what's going on. And, like, I know I be getting shadow banned and stuff a lot, right? Because of how I talk, right? Because I talk that shit, right? And not only that, I be having people on here that has real stories. And a lot of times, the stories that they talk about, they call out names, you know what I'm saying? And so if they flagged and I tagged them, then my joint going to be flagged too, because it's all, you know what I'm saying? And but that's the whole part about having this platform, you know what I mean? I know it's going to be a slower walk for me to get to where people talk about, you know, it gets to the monetization part when it comes from that particular thing. So you know me, y'all. I continue to hustle, and y'all know I got merchandise. So if a person really wanted to support the platform, or if they like what's going on, or they like the fact that they got a place they could come talk and they could get theirs off, and at the same time, I'm going to do it on the back end. I'm going to edit it for them. I'm going to chop it down, and I'm going to move it around for them when they sleep. I'm not. I'm working for them even when they come on. So if people understand that, then, yo, if they want me to keep pushing, they're going to do that. Yo, word is born. They're going to buy a shirt. They're going to do something like that, because they know what it is. They see that your boy out here really putting in the work, in spite of the fact that some of the people that come on, whatever they eating, I'm eating too, and I ain't even a part of it, but I give them a platform. So, you know, this is what it is. So when it comes down to it, I want all of y'all that be watching each and every week, y'all know y'all be in the comments and the whole nine. I want to thank y'all, all the people that watch the playbacks and the clips I put up. Thank y'all too, because like I said, this ain't easy, but to be able to give other people a platform in order to get their thing off when they know that they're just as important as any other person out here that we try to make more important, you know, for the clicks and views and the instant thing, like all the celebrities and all this other stuff that go on. So again, to anybody that support the platform, thank y'all, man. You know how I do. Word. I bet. So again, y'all know how I give it up for the sponsors. Y'all click the links in the description, okay? And y'all could check everything out. Y'all know Collective Wear is in the building. Y'all see it. You know what I mean? And like I said earlier, if y'all want to support the platform, y'all know what to do. Click the link in the description. Go through the shop and check out something, man. We got a bunch of new designs coming and the whole nine, man. We just moving out here, all right? So thank y'all. All of y'all that watched the new short film comedy that I produced called Kill No One Part 2, thank y'all again. Yo, that's another thing I want to thank y'all too, because your boy be out here doing all this extra stuff and y'all be supporting it, and I thank y'all, all right? Word. So all of y'all that push play and y'all sharing it and y'all commenting, thank y'all, man, because it don't cost nothing to support. And even if you don't like it, that's cool too, because all I do is use it to get better. So don't worry. I got thick skin. I don't take it personal, right? Because art is subjective. So just, you know what I mean? I appreciate the love. Okay, back.
All right, so I got a really dope show. So listen, my guest tonight, you know what I mean? We've been trying to coordinate to get together and have these conversations for a while, but she'd be busy. She'd be in the trenches. And, you know, it's just so much of what it takes to give yourself for other people, right? We have been taught so much of to be selfish in a way where we only could be concerned about what we have going on because we have this stigma in our community that we hold against each other. And what we do is we hold a couple of things. One of them is that we claim that we can't trust each other. We claim that we don't support each other. And then we claim that we don't protect each other. I bet. So with those three things there, we understand in our community that those are the three things that keep us the furthest apart, right? Not so much so our circumstances, because people don't pay attention to their circumstances and see how much we have to deal with that's just alike. But because of those three things, yo, it causes us not to have the certain type of unity we need. But then it takes a certain type of person that's willing to fight for people. Right? Take a certain type of person, because then that means that this person is selfless when they got so many people out here being selfish. And I understand that, because even in your own life, you're going to realize there's going to be people who feel entitled to being able to feel that way. Like, yo, I can only be concerned about what's going on with me. My heart hurt. I understand what you got going on, but I got this. But then there's the people that say, I got this and I got you. Now, think about the type of energy that takes for a person to say that, like enough to say, yo, not only do I relate with you, but I empathize with you. How many people out here walk with the spirit of empathy? Not many, because they're too busy concerned about their situation. Either they think that theirs is the worst or they're the only ones going through it. But then you got those people who are saying like, nah, you not the only one going through it. So-and-so going through it. They going through it. And this person going through it. And check this out. I'm going through it. And this is what we doing about it. Right? This is what we doing about it. We not sitting around just in our corners balled up. Not like we don't have a reason to be there, yo. Word. Everybody that goes, that come on my show, that have those type of conversations or have that type of life that they dealing with, they all got the right to be in some corner somewhere balled up if that's what it is. But they choose to take that energy, turn it into something else for somebody else, right? Even in the midst of their own loss, yo. When we got people out here who we can't even, we got to worry about a sandwich. This is another thing. So I know last week, I guess I'm going to start my rant now. Just like last week when I reported about the town that they talking about, right? The Ozark Mountain, the white people that want to get their own town and shit. Talking about they don't want no black people, Asians, Mexicans, gay people, the whole nine, anything outside of them. And, you know, I told y'all that's stupid. We don't care. I don't know why they think that we care about that. We do not. Yo, just tell us what the zip code is. We won't go riding through. We won't spend no money. We don't care about y'all. But then I thought about this on the other end, that although these people, for some reason, they had to go to the news to let everybody know. So obviously, whatever their little town is, ain't really popping like that, right? Because whenever you got a bunch of people that's really putting something together and they want that to stay, they not telling everybody. You know what I'm saying? We're not telling everybody. Because if we was to come up with something that we wanted to do, like a town like that, you think we going to the news? We ain't going to the news. We barely going to even be on social media about it. I'm going to be honest with you. If we do, it's going to be worded some type of way where you just going to think we all at a somebody vacation spot. But we not going to be calling the news to come down there to tell people that we only want people that look like. We're not doing that. But I thought about this, y'all. I promise y'all. I thought about what it takes. The type of unity it takes for you to even have the audacity to still feel that way in this day and time. You understand what I'm saying? These people still put it together in a way, right or wrong, to work together. Right? And here we go. Those three things I talked about earlier. We can't even get past a cookout. Right? We can't get past a family reunion. We can't get past, like, what I'm saying to y'all is that, listen, I understand that people feel how they want to feel about whatever's going on in the world. But then I have to really take this time to really look at it and say to y'all, but damn, y'all, a lot of people are doing stuff that we should be doing and just taking it the other way. Like, yo, we don't have to alienate nobody based on race and height and all that other corny shit. We could just say, listen, our circumstances are the same. What we doing? You trying to mildew a barbecue. That's it. That we don't care about all that other stuff. And as long as we protecting these children out here and the whole nine. But that's the point I'm trying to make. We have to start with being of service to other people. It'll come back to you. So that's why my guest that's coming on tonight is one of them people. Because not only does she help people that's been wrongly accused and incarcerated, she helped those that was probably wrong and they incarcerated just being treated wrong. And not only that, she out there with the homeless, like, yo, feeding them and doing all these other things. Like, I'm talking about boots on the ground for real. Not the line dance. Like, literally, if it's going to be the line dance popping down out here, she should be the person that they got doing the dance. Like, she should be the main one, because when it comes down to boots on the ground, when it comes down to that particular whole, that whole energy right there, that whole vibe, she is one of them ones, yo. And I'm so thankful to have her on tonight, right? So we're going to get into it. I had a few other things I'm going to take, but we ain't going to do that. We're going to give her her time, man, because like I said, it's a lot. But just knowing everything that she does, and shout out to Meg too, yo, because it's a lot of people that has been connected to me through Meg as a person who's been, you know, doing everything that she's doing. You know what I mean? In the same fight for people. Word. So look, I got some comments. Oh, that it's all Meg. Okay. So right now she's getting everybody involved real quick. So we'll show it as we go. Right. But let me bring my guest up so we can get into it real quick, y'all. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I think you muted.
Oh, shoot. Is it on my end? Hold on. Let me see. Hold on. Let's see what I need to do.
Oh, no, you might not be. Hold on.
Okay.
It could be me. Hold on for a second. Sometimes my headphones do what they want to.
Got you. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I got you. Okay. I can hear you. Yeah. I bet. So, look, let's do this, man. Can you please introduce yourself to the audience and then let them know why you're on the platform this evening?
Absolutely. I am L.A. Pink. I am the first lady and president of Street Groomers. I am the CEO of the Community Boutique with L.A. Pink.
That's right. That's right.
And that's me. All
right.
That's me. Sure. Right.
I like that. I like that. But look, we got to get into it, though, because I know you heard a lot of what I said about you. But I need the people to know from you just, you know, the things that you have your hand in and why you're so important out here in the community.
Man, I'm not important. God is. You know, he sent me to do a mission and he knew I was going to get it done. So I just thank him for choosing me. To be the vessel to do what I do for the community. You know, you don't nice. Trust everybody to get jobs done as big as the ones that he have given to me in different areas. You know, sometimes he give people in specific areas and they stay in those specific areas, you know, but right. He has planted us to be nationwide. And so we're all over the place. I know that all over the place to some other people may sound like you got your hands in too much stuff, but I have my hands in just the right things at the right time, at the right moment, and execute the things that he gives me to do. And that's what I love about the task.
What you're doing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what I was saying in earlier about being selfless, right? Because in this world, like I said, they got us in a space right now where so many people are just about themselves. They don't think about the collective. They don't think about if something happens to them. You know, they more so into themselves. So let's talk a little bit about what got you into street. Like, how did you come up with Street Groomers?
So I didn't come up with street groomers. Street groomers was birthed from my husband and from his brother, Brother Haroon, that is deceased now. Brother Haroon died now. It's been 4 years ago that Brother Haroon passed away from heart failure. And him and my husband started Street Groomers in 2015. One's a GD, one's a blood. And they came together. They was like, you know, we need to do something together that is going to bring back unity to our community and taking back our community the right way, you know. And that's when they birthed Street Groomers. Street Groomers was just solely on, you know, taking back the community because they had given so much out there to the community with gang activity that they wanted to give something positive. And so that's where the feeding and the, you know, you know, a lot of that stuff came from, getting children off of the bus, because, you know, in eras of time through Atlanta, they had started trying to kidnap children. And so they would get up at 5 and 3, 4 o'clock in the morning before the kids got to the school bus and wait for them to get there, or walk some of them to the school bus that was, you know, next door to them or something. So they would do different things like that. They did a lot of cleaning up the neighborhoods with trash and, you know, activities, but just getting involved. And then Brother Haroon passed. And my husband, before he became my husband, because he wasn't my husband at the time. At the time, I didn't even really know him. You know, we had met at an event, a giveaway Rashad Ritchie had did for me and Brother Haroon and his brother, my husband. And we were the kind of the people that they were really sponsoring. They were sponsoring us, our organization, Street Groomers, and the Community Boutique, which is my organization, which is a 501c3. And they were sponsoring us to give us clothing, coats to go out and pass into the homeless because it had got so cold. And so they collected like over 10,000 coats. And that was the first time I had met him, but I had not still remembered him. And so when Brother Haroon had passed away, his brother and me and Brother Haroon were very, very, very close. He called a meeting, and it was like 20 men and me and him. And he had said who would take up the torch to do what his brother did, you know, being that his brother was deceased and he used to travel a lot. His job in Street Groomers was a lot different than Brother Haroon's. Brother Haroon's was more remaining on the community. His was more traveling and coming in security, you know, more of that type of feel of it, and, you know, marches and protests and, you know, addressing issues like what I'm addressing now. And so I raised my hand. I was the only woman out of 20 men to raise my hand. And so that's how I became the first lady of Street Groomers and the president. There and so ever since then, I said, hey, let's go. I took it to a whole nother level.
There it is. And see, that's why I'm glad I asked, because, you know, you just never know. Like, there's always a road to your purpose. And sometimes we don't know until we actually get into just the right lane, right? And then it leads you into exactly where you're supposed to be. Because I know when it comes down to people's relationship with God, I know people feel like when it comes to God, it's a give and take thing. But I really just want to just take a moment to understand, like, nah, it's really a chosen and choose thing, right? Because knowing that you chosen, you still got to be able to choose the task, because you're not going to be made to do it. But then sometimes your life is going to lead you into it, right? Whether you choose it or not. They always say it's better to just, you know, either you're going to go on your own or you're going to get your ass whooped.
Come on.
But you got to pick. It's one of two going to happen.
One of the other. Yep.
Right. Yep. So let's talk about this for a minute, because in that particular position, when men come from the type of street life that your husband and his brother come from, A lot of times, you know, the men are stereotyped. They're judged in a certain way based on a mentality, right? Because people think that long as they always been that way, it's still always in them. So what made you look at the brothers and see it from a totally different perspective, being a woman yourself? Because, you know, the narrative out here is that, you know, men of color don't protect women of color.
Absolutely.
That's the narrative. Well,
yeah, it's just the narrative. For me, I gang banged too. So it was it was like God, my husband evens me out. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm a very, 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 very strong woman. And so it takes a very, 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 very strong man to be able to level me out and to sharpen me, you know what I'm saying? And so that's what that was. Him and I, we both have left the gangs. My whole family was in gangs. You know, so I come from that life. I had 11 brothers growing up around me. So I would, you know, I just look at men different, you know, I just view them different. Mm-hmm. I know how to respect, I know how to be in power. And because trust me, I might've been the only girl, but I led the pack, and I led the pack with respect of knowing who my brothers and them were, not out of, you know, being bossy or being in control, but knowing how to handle business as a woman, you know? And so I've always, you know, had that in me. So when God put us together, it was like, okay, God, because that's who put us together. Like nobody else. We wasn't attracted to each other. We wasn't, we didn't have, you know, anything prior to or anything. My husband just woke up one day when we were out about to get ready to go protesting. And he was like, you know, God, go talk to God, because he told me that you were my wife. And so I was like, oh, Lord, like I've been in Georgia for 10 years. Like there's no such, you know what I'm saying? Like how all of a sudden, you know? And so I did, I went and talked to God, and lo and behold, God said he had been told me that my husband was going to teach me the word of God. And one day my husband said, God told me that I'm supposed to teach you this. Now, he didn't know this, that God had told me that. But that's just what God had said. And to me, that's what it was going to be. And so I was like, whoa, hold up. That's deep, because that's what God told me. And so that's how I began to listen to him and hear what he was in. Sometimes we would finish each other's sentences. I mean, it's like, you know, just be talking at the same time. Like God said this, he told me that too. And so It was just us. It was just like, okay, we're gonna listen to God. And we just jumped right into it. We didn't know each other or anything. We just trusted God. And that's what our whole relationship, that's what our organization, that's what everything is building on, just listening and trusting God. And that's what we're doing right now, just listening, trusting him. Every move that we make, we go to God first, you know, and that's what it is before we do anything with the homeless. Fighting in the streets, anything, and you know, against these political gangbangers, anything we do, that's what we do. Go to God first.
No, that's a fact, because that's one of the things that I think for most men that are in a leadership position, they don't get that's one thing that people just don't actually look for in men, right? They don't understand that, you know, when we are in that position and we really care about a person or we hear it, we try to teach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of when it comes down to like people really understanding, like whether you feel like you have a person in your life that really cares about you enough, especially when it comes to men, because, you know, we're going to try to teach. And it's only based on what we've learned, based on what we're given. Right. Because we're going to get our messages, too. And in this position of leadership, you're going to have to hear from God, because I promise you, you could think that it's all you if you want to. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to find yourself in those times alone. So you got to be able to listen. because either you're going to get discouraged when you're alone, or you're going to use that time to hear and to listen and to, you know, even if you got to, I like the ground and stuff. So I'll be going out there, putting my feet in the grass and, you know, paying attention to what's going on around in nature just to be able to understand, you know, how to maneuver in life. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Whenever you guys pick a, like, I don't know if it's a pick thing, but like, what, mm-hmm. which, how do you know what cause to really stand on? Cause y'all really stand on it, like, all the way through, right? So how do y'all know? I know you said y'all go to God when it comes down to it, but we all understand too that there's people who come in God that ain't, you know.
Nah, so. You gotta show you right away. You know, the one thing that he has given is discernment. And I just don't jump on everything. Like, I'm not touchable that people could just call. They can call me. Don't get it twisted, because I've been having the same number for over 20 some years. Like, literally, I don't get my number changed. I don't have to. If I don't want to talk to you, I could block and delete you just like Facebook. If I don't want to be bothered, block, delete, and keep pushing. No hard feelings, you know. But every time somebody calls me, I could talk to them, but that doesn't mean that God is going to, that's my assignment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It might be for me to just give them a word of wisdom of something that God just wanted me to listen to and not take up on that task. I don't know, but I go to God first. And if he gives it to me to do, then I'm going to complete it. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get involved with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to pass it over to Meg, and me and Meg going to get into it. We're going to tag team. My husband going to tag team. We're going to get it. But if not, it don't touch our plate. It even be sometimes Meg brings something to us and I say, Meg, you need to go talk to God, see if that's the task that we supposed to be on. Because if not, street grooms ain't gonna touch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just not going to touch it. I don't have to touch everything, because God touches everything. I tell people all the time, I'm not here for your problems. I'm here for the solution. And so I need what's in your belly. I need the what's in your core. That's who I need to speak to, because we all got, like you were saying earlier, you hit it right on the knot. Like, literally, we all have problems. We all have issues. We all have things going on. But when you are walking in your purpose and you're walking in the chosen piece of your life that God has chosen you to be the one, you're that now that sacrificial lamb. Like, God is using you now as that piece to make sure that, hey, the job gets done through you. And so I don't take that lightly. You know, everything that he aligns for me to do, I want to execute it. And so and this is the season, you know, no more marching, no more singing, no more dancing. It's time for us to execute and make things happen, you know.
Facts. And I agree with you, because I think that's the biggest thing about being able to be there for other people. Sometimes, you know, being there for them is giving them words of encouragement, or being able to connect the dots sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Not always being a person that has to always put your cape on. Even Superman had to take his cape off every now and then, you know. Absolutely. What I mean? But so we just want to be in a position where we can help. And that's the same thing with the platform, because then sometimes people come and or they reach out to me and they want to come on, and it's like, Dad, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, because mm-hmm. it just doesn't sound like this is, mm-hmm. you know, what my audience needs to hear. Not that I'm mm-hmm. against anyone and how they live and what they choose, but, you know, we have to be that way. And I think that's the misconception about whenever we use the word God or we use spiritual, say, you know, mm-hmm. anything spiritual in our talk, people expect, because of that means everything is open and everything is free because of your relationship with God. But they don't understand, like, no, God is selective, right? Because even in your purpose, you have to be chosen. I think everybody that's born has a reason to be here. Mm-hmm. Even that little, the person on the bench, whatever, in the park or whatever, in the tents. And I think everybody had a reason to be here. They just didn't find their purpose.
Right.
But they had a reason to be here. And mm-hmm. and so with that, I remember, I think I said this on the platform before, I remember a guy named Dr. Miles Monroe. Have you ever heard of him?
Uh-huh.
Dr. Miles Monroe. All right, bet. So he was talking one time and he was saying that, or one of his speeches, and he was saying,
I love him.
He asked the audience, he was like, yo, where you think the most wealthiest place in the world is? So he gave, Yeah, he gave everybody the choice, the world. He said the world, not just United States, like the world.
Yep.
Tell me, you know, people was talking about Abu Dhabi. They was talking about, mm-hmm. you know, Egypt, everywhere else. And fam was like, yeah. nah, it's the cemetery.
Cemetery.
And he broke it down. He said, because, go ahead.
No, you were saying he broke it down. And I was just about to say he helped me out of my homelessness when I was struggling with homelessness. And like that was one of the persons that I listened to because he talked. He didn't teach, he didn't yell and like pastors. He wasn't all right. of that. He just was so smooth
and real.
And so that just hit me to the core right there, because that man helped me come from a place.
And I ain't gonna lie, that's why I always reference him, because it's a thing where mm-hmm. you know, once you put that into a perspective, it's like, well, damn, so all the dreams and all the goals and all the things that people were supposed to do died with them. And it's right there in the cemetery. That's where all the wealth is. And then I think to myself, you know, one time, you know, another he said, listen, die empty. Mm-hmm. Like, don't leave nothing inside of you. If nothing, it was something nothing. You were supposed to do, ooh, get it out. You know what I'm saying? Don't ooh. Leave it in you. So I feel, you know, empowered to get the things that send me up out of me, too. So, you got everything falling over there. That's that everything. Energy, y'all. Everything. That's that energy. That's that energy. So, look, let's talk about some of the things that you are or you have been working on. Let's really get a people out, because I think that's something that's important that people need to know, especially with you breaking down your background of actually coming from the streets. Yeah. Transforming your life into becoming an advocate for the streets. So let's talk about some of the things that you worked on that, you know, that touched you, or maybe, you know, some of the cases that's going on now that need awareness.
Absolutely. There's so many. You know, we have Eric Holmes, which you know, Pooh, Sister Pooh, Mother Holmes, that have probably been on the show, you know, their case, 7 charges of murder, and now just barely being able to take it back to court. They went and they did, you know, let him walk free. You know, Kane Rogers, they still nothing. We still have nothing. You know, it's so many right now. The recent one was yesterday when I stood with Miss Kenya. Malcolm's his name is Malcolm. He was driving in a Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell is his last name, and hers is Kenyon Mitchell. Her son went out and teenager, 19 years old, sold a gun to, or he was 20. I think he's 20. I think the other little boy that shot him and killed him was 19. He was going to sell a gun to the boy. The boy asked for it to buy the gun. He was a registered security officer. So, you know, this is probably his thing to sell guns. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the case may be. I just know that this boy pulled up to his house, picked him up. And in the process of the gun being purchased, he had both of the guns, the shooter, and shot and killed her baby. And they have let him walk free. That with no charges, he was driving reckless out here in Douglasville, passing lights, and they pulled him over because he was reckless driving. They had the dead body in his car, which was her son, and nothing has happened to this person. Nothing, you know. Then we have, of course, I don't know if you've heard of Roger Fortson. You know, he was shot and killed in Florida. I'm fighting with that mother, and then she has her son, Andre, and then she has her son, Demetrius, that's fighting from the system. So there's so many cases and so many things that we're fighting right now, you know, that we're up against. Meg is most definitely our partner in crime for everything that we are taking care of. We got one in California that they gave him some life sentences, and we're soon to have him home. You know, I was with We See You. I don't know if you were familiar with that organization, but Anna had fought hard for David Scott to get home. She called me one day and she said, "Hey, Pink, I've given all I got. Do you have anything?" I immediately was like, I don't very often give my attorney. And when I do, then that means that I'm involved, like, directly. And so I got my attorney involved. And once again, he did what he was supposed to do. And he brought him home. 2 life sentences plus 15. They were about to cheat him out of that by they had already signed for him to do another 5 years on the 30 years he'd already done, with 29, almost 30 years. And they had already signed off on another 5 to 6 years. And my attorney came in there, threw a wrench in that, brought him home. So, you know, we have some really success stories. I don't know if Meg told you or not, but Meg was directly in this one. Runt was one of our community babies. He was in there for first degree murder, and it should have been a self-defense. And Meg wrote a petition to the judge of a release. My attorney got involved, which is Mario Williams. And once again, his attorney was trying to sell him out. And I told the father, I said, "Hey, can we get my attorney involved? Because, you know, your attorney ain't doing what he's supposed to do." So he finally agreed for me to get my attorney involved. And once again, he brought him home in less than 2 weeks. Now, he had been in Fulton County Jail for 6 years, almost 6 years. And Meg came in, wrote up a paper. And my attorney came in and stood on that paper and took it, you know, in front of the judge and fought for his case. And we had him out in 2 weeks. So we got some success. You know, we ain't just talking the talk. We pulling some stuff out. But we just want to be consistent, and we want to be effective this go round. We don't want to just be talking about stuff. You know, you see a lot of stuff on social media where people are posting, and it looks good. It sounds good, but it ain't nothing popping. You ain't got no action to what you're talking about. You ain't got no testimonies to your paperwork. You know, I thank God that he has given us testimonies to be able to say the work that we are doing, we are really, truly putting our foot to the pavement and getting it done.
Yeah, that's a fact. And y'all are, and that's the good thing about having social media, because y'all got the receipts. If anybody wanted to come behind and really feel like, I wonder if they really are walking the walk. Y'all got the receipts. Y'all walking it. That's why I said boots on the ground. If it's going to be somebody that could use that theme song, it's definitely you, because it's there. You know what I'm saying? And some of the cases that you just talked about, like a lot of the things that people have gone through, just being used in the system. I feel like, our people, you know, we've been reduced to a color, and I think they treat us like that. As long as we accept that that's all we are, even though that's not, we're not the color black, right? But it seems like as long as we identify as that, it just makes it so easy for people to just mistreat us in any kind of way. The laws have been written. These people are using laws that's been in since the 1800s. They still using them today against us. And it's against those particular words too, of what we identify as.
But it's us using it against us. And I say that because how is it that a law from that long time ago still exists with black officials in office? I can't make this a black and white thing. Like, I can't make it a color thing, because I am right now witnessing the sheriff file a false TPO up against me. I am watching the sheriff, which is black, allow his jail to crumble for money, because all he wants to do is spend money. He doesn't want to help these black individuals that he have inside of his own jail. We got this black DA that is sit up here, and like I said, Demetrius, in one of our cases, he is in jail right now in funny, Willis told the mother to her face when she said, I know I'm a mother. And a mother always going to think that their kid didn't do it. And she said, he didn't. She said, but he'll pick better friends next time. That's a slap in the face, because you have, so you had claimed, but we got a whistleblower saying that we know that this to be a fact. And he is a factor to show that you did not. You could have said, hey, we know he didn't do it. We going to put his butt in a program and we going to get it, scare his butt straight. He ain't going to be, he not going to be out here on these streets. But he going to know how to pick better friends, because he going to have to commit himself to this program and get stay inside this program. What happened to that? Why would you let this baby be in prison all these years? He done been in there 10, 11, 12 years, maybe even longer than that.
Wow.
And now we have to, we're fighting his case, you know, like, and this is going to be the breaker to bring, because let me tell you something. I tell people this all the time. Anybody connected to Funny Willis, anybody connected to Sheriff LaButte, anybody connected to a Mayor Dickhead, and I name these names because they are all committing, from what the streets say and paperwork I have, a crime, and they're running it together, which is a RICO. When you know that someone is doing something and you are helping collab involve with it, that's a RICO. Ain't that what she just came at the Young Thug for? Ain't that what she came at the Trump for? And here it is. You came after all these people for something you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to pay for that. You got to pay for that. And like I tell people all the time, because they say, the news always ask me, like, you don't never fear for your life. The only life I fear is that I don't please God, and he might take it tomorrow and he'd be mad at me and not let me into heaven. Other than that, I don't fear no man. I don't fear nobody. I didn't fear when I was gangbanging. I didn't fear then. I didn't fear nothing. The if guns got the shooting, I want to find out where my friends and my cousins and my brothers and them is. Like, we got to go. I'm not hitting the ground, so I don't hit the ground now. Only thing these feet stay is 10 toes on the ground. I'm not, these are not coming up off the ground to get on the ground. I'm not. I'll never get on my knees, ever, for nothing and nobody.
Facts. And I get you. And that's why I say that's the energy, right? Because it be us against us. In this particular scenario, and then it's always based on something that has to do with money, right? Yes. It's like, it's always the motivator of how a person can be corrupt is money. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I had the sheriff on here, the former sheriff of Clayton County, and he was on here, and you know, he was talking about everything that he went through. He went to jail. Victor Hill. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything that he went through at just from wanting to just clean up his own jail, like saying, listen, you can't be selling cell phones in here. You got people going broke on and the being outside. Strong.
People love Victor. Let me tell you something. I've heard everybody got some good, everybody got some bad, you know, but the best thing that I've heard about him is that, you know, he's the same now as that he was then, as far as how he loved to make sure things were in order. And order is very important, because that's what God called us to do, is be in order. That's why you say decency in order. Decency in order. And people don't want order. And so they will try to tear you down. And we had to watch it from his own kind. The people that took him down were Black. They weren't Republicans. People always talking about, why you don't talk about the Republicans? Because I wasn't a Republican. I was a Democrat. And it's the Democrats that come against the Democrats. And I don't even really call them Democrats. I call them demon rats, because they demonize the situation. They always trying to make something into stuff that it really ain't, and make you think, you know, it's this way. Oh, you didn't see that. Oh, that wasn't that way. You know, just like they doing right now. And a lot of people don't like Trump. I don't care. I don't have to like nobody. My mind is stayed on God. But at the end of the day, God is still showing us how they do us every single day. When they sit up there and throw out false narratives, all they have to do is keep saying it to the media, keep repeating themselves. I don't have to repeat myself. I got 50,000 stories. Trump got 1,000 stories of stuff that you really are truly, honestly doing. They keep on repeating the story that they have because they want to drill that in your head. So that's all right. You're thinking. Just like right now, they're like, oh, he's going to take Medicaid. He's going to take this. He's going to take that. So as soon as they get to taking it, then they say, oh, Trump did that. No, you are already doing it. For people that have been working the system and dealing with the system and dealing with homeless and dealing with housing, you already right. know all the stuff that's going on, been going on. They've been trying to cut food stamps. They've been trying to cut housing, Section 8. They've been trying to cut all this stuff. So if you have not been doing the work, sit down. That's why I be telling people when they come on my post trying to, where's your resume? I don't even use the use resume nor ask people for resumes, but nowadays you got to, because what have you been doing? Did you just start doing this stuff? Because if you just started, then you're on the bandwagon. If you haven't, you know what the real is and what the fake is. You know what it really looks like. You know, you know what it is. And I just don't play no games with it. And I don't have time. Like, I'm not here to make friends nor enemies. I'm here about my father's business. And his business is whatever he say today bring. And that ain't it. And I don't have no schedule. I don't wake up and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I ask God, what do you need me to do today? And that's what I do.
And that's the definition of being a servant. Right. And being of service, because, you know, you want to do the thing that you know that you're going to get the most out of throughout your day. Right. Because, you know, we all get up every morning with our own agenda, so to speak, like already from the night before, you already thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow, how you're going to get through tomorrow, what you're going to eat when you get, you know, all these other things that we can, you know, we just put in our mind because we haven't really realized that what you're doing is important, is connecting with God first. Now, we understand that, you know, people have a routine base too. You got to go to work. You got to go to work. That's just your time. You got to get up. That's your time. You got to do whatever you do. But even in that, it's still a means for you to find your purpose. Your purpose is not just that. And I get that too. And then sometimes people get upset with me when I talk that talk, you know, because they'll say things like, nah, you know, this is what we got to do for right now. You know what I mean? This is what we got to do to pay our bills and stuff like that. When I talk about, you know, them believing in their purpose, and they always talk about that. And I say, you know, why is that always your go-to about what you worried about now? Like, why isn't your purpose your most important thing? Because in your purpose, you're going to get the freedom that you're looking for. If you're going to work every day, you're just going to pay to keep going to work every day, because that's what you do. You get enough to pay your bills, you're going to keep going to work every day. But your freedom will get you in a space where you can't be in a routine. Sometimes we got to get out our own way, because money is a hindrance to a lot of people too. But along in your purpose, then money comes. Like, if people really understood that one thing about how you don't have to be perfect in order to receive the blessings of God, if you just stay in your purpose. Right? Because there's nobody that you can go to and you can reference in any book that's ever been used by God that was a perfect person.
Right.
Because even when they talk about, you know, Jesus, or, you know, however they call it, you know, it's not his name, all other stuff, but whatever he did, he still, his purpose, he had to figure it out. Like, it wasn't just that it came automatic. He had to figure it out through his own method of getting there. So even if we got to take the same example, it's like I tell people all the time, you got a business. You got to market it every day. If McDonald's still do a commercial, then you need to be doing commercials, because you ain't McDonald's. Right. Yeah. So it's the same thing. Like, we have so many examples, but we don't look at that portion of the example. Like what you said is the boots on the ground example. Like, how many people don't look at that part? Like, what it takes to get there? They look at the success. Like you were saying earlier, you know, there's a lot of people out here claiming activists just so they can get numbers up on social media and monetize off of talking good. But none of them be at a press conference. None of them have people. They're not talking to nobody who's dealing with nothing. They ain't got personal people that they got testimonies of. They just got a good talk game and a good edit skills.
And they got a good track down. See, now we got lurkers. So the lurkers, what they do is they make sure that they pay attention to social media so they can see wherever the protests are, wherever this, because they're going to be there. And that's where they feel like they're busy at. Oh, because you at every protest, you at every, but what have you done? What legislation have you passed? I feel like this, if you are a community advocate and you call yourself, if you call yourself an activist, you better have some legislation up under your belt. You better have some kind of, I passed, I moved, I got a victory of bringing somebody home, or a victory of a case being, you know, overturned, or a victory of, you got to have something up under your belt. You can't just say that, oh, okay, I'm an activist and I go out and I make sure that I got a horn. I don't understand. It's like an attorney. If you got an attorney and they haven't won any cases like Gerald Griggs, you need to sit down. I'm sorry. You can't call yourself the Black NAACP, but you ain't won nothing. You ain't at every, you only get involved when you feel like, oh, it meets the new standards, but a Black NAACP needs to be involved when anything, so they say, happened to a Black person to find out what exactly is going on, good, bad, or indifference. A pastor, good, bad, or indifference. Your job ain't to say, well, I can't touch that because, oh, they was in the wrong. Because you know what? Regardless of who was in the wrong, this is us. When Zion got killed down at Atlanta Station, there was two boys that got killed. It was Zion and another young boy that got killed. And we had to do Zion's funeral. And we had to protect his body as street groomers. But then as street groomers, we had to go to the jail and mentor the boy that shot him. So we don't just, I'm not just saying, oh, he in the wrong and he need to, I'm not going to see him and I ain't got nothing to say to him because he need to stop being bad and he need to stop. No, he need help. He is a Black young man that's about to be sent to prison. He needs to have his mind right when he go off in there. He has to know when he come out, if God allows you to, you better have your stuff together. And when you do, come see me. Come see me. Right. If you need me while you in jail, call me. Because you know what? At the end of the day, your life don't stop. Because if it does, then that means all ours should stop. Because we all done made mistakes. We all done had faults. We all done did stuff that wasn't supposed to, that God spared us so that we could have our children. And now we living our best life. And our children now may be doing stuff that we not understanding. But they learning. We have to not be those people that we're passing judgment on a person's circumstances or situation based on the fact of, oh, they killed my baby. No, let me tell you something. If somebody did kill my baby, I want to go see him. I want to go see him because you know what? God ain't going to look at me for me hating that boy. God is going to look at me for changing that boy's life. That's what God going to look at. He's not going to look at it like, oh, okay, he killed him and you hate him and you can hate him because he killed. No, he don't care about none of that. He don't care about none of that. He said, vengeance is mine. Our job is to change the mindsets of those we come in contact with. That's our job. Right. Just like with Sheriff LaButt, I'm coming after him right now. I just want his job. I don't have no ill will feeling again. I don't hate that man. I just want your job. I want what I helped you get. And anybody that ain't doing their job for my people, I want your job. If you sitting in a political standpoint, I need your job. And now sit yourself down. And if you try a few years later and get yourself together and you want to repent, because God said, repent, turn from your wicked ways, and I'll direct your path. And if God see fit for you to come back, I don't mind. Come on back. Because, hey, I was gangbanging. And I'm not gangbanging no more, but I go and get those that is in these streets, these young gentlemen that think that they gonna gangbang and do all that. No, they ain't thugs. They lost. And this is what kills me about the DA and it kills me about the police. Yeah, you got some police that was thugs. If that's the case, you got some police that gangbang, sell drugs, still do. So we supposed to feel some type of way? These are political gangbangers. Like I said, I call them like I see. Y'all want to call the street thugs, and you want to say when people are gathered. And this is one thing that I learned about them. The reason why they say gangs, because that's how you get a faster response on the judge, the faster response on the DA that's trying to, solidify the case to the jury or anybody. Oh, they gang members.
Right.
What a gang look like? Because I used to gang bang. What it look like? Funny Willis used to gang bang for what the street say. What it look like? So she say, or what they say in the street? She used to be with the Bloods. What it look like?
Mm.
And now y'all political gang banging because you are coming, taking down our black men, our black women out of the streets, out of the communities, mothers from their children, taking mothers to jail. If you can't get their children. And you think we coming to play? I don't come to play. Like I said, and I don't need a, but you'll always catch me by myself. You know why? Because I'm an army all by myself. God already told me that. I don't need people behind me because know what? If I was out there with a whole bunch of people, they would have tried to label us as, oh, these is ex-gang members. They gangs. Oh, you know, try to put us into this whole. But God said, mm-mm. Right now I need you by yourself. I don't need nobody to try to sit up here and put no labels on you.
Right.
Because when the massive come, trust me, we all going to be on one accord. And the takedown going to be real. We are taking jobs. And we always got to make sure we clear that up because I don't want them to be thinking like we coming with, oh, they put a hit out. I don't want to hit nobody, honey. All I want is your job. I don't want nothing else. It ain't no reason for me to beef with you. Ain't no reason for me to come to your house and do nothing to you. I want your job. And if that do something to you, you should have did your job right.
Facts. And look, I believe you, man, because at the end of the day, that's what we all should be on. In every state, they need to be organized in that way to get these things out of there. And you made a great point earlier about something that I talked about on the platform a while ago is about these laws. When we have all of these people of color in these positions, when they get in these political positions in these states, and these laws that's on the books stay the same, right?
Yep.
And I was told, just like I know I tell a lot of people, a lot of times people don't even know. Like if you just look up the stupid, just type in stupidest laws in my state and type in the name of your state and see what pop up. You'll see like it's so many things up there that you wouldn't even understand that's just out here for you that they could use against you if they wanted to. And you don't even know. And so. I what you said made a whole lot of sense, and I hope a lot of people that's watching or watch the playback will get that particular point. Is that first of all, we don't live in fear. The fact that if you move around in fear, it's almost like you just saying that you don't trust God, because how can you trust God and still be scared? Like I understand that we get. You know, this thing that because we about to do something that's unknown, like I understand that unknown and the fear of not knowing what's going to happen when you try something. But I do understand what faith is as well, too. And I hope a lot of people get that from your story, that your whole story is about nothing but faith. That's it. You ask God for everything. You go to God for everything. And in helping people, you go through God for helping people. And that's because you believe in. So everything is faith-based, right? Even though you come from the background you come from. You come from a place where it's negative. You come from the space that, you know, at a particular point in time, you probably were the person that was just thinking about you, don't care about other people. And it's probably other people that in your life that you had to deal with that might look at you on the opposite end. But
faith. Never. I always been the same person. I've always helped. When I was growing up, I took care of my nephew, both of my nephews, because my brother went to prison. And so right. his children became my children. I had them, I made sure they had all their clothes to go to school. I made sure that they had, my nephew tells me this all the time, you taught me what Christmas was. And that's back in the days I had money. Christmas was everything. You know, hey, you know, I get a kid's, you know, a shopping spree every weekend. I just had it. So I always made sure they was taken care of. But and my brother, I always never wanted them to feel separated from him. So I kept gotcha. Them, make sure that they were around. I was that sister that, hey, if my brother ain't here, I'm now my brother's keeper. You know what I'm saying? And I kept his children right. very well. Every last one of them, they didn't want for nothing. Like my son didn't want for nothing. My sister didn't want for nothing. And my friends around me never wanted for anything. They and so for God to bring me all the way here now to Georgia from Denver, Colorado, and have me do a boutique for the homeless. It's like, okay, because I love fashion. I love fashion. I love dressing. I've always dressed everybody, you know, my whole entire family, right. everybody. I've always been that person. So nothing about me have changed other than the fact of me gangbanging. And God had to take me away from that because my loyalty was to the street. And God said, no loyalty comes but to me. You're like, you don't have no loyalty. And I had to learn that, because at first my loyalty, like, I love my homeboys. I love my homegirls. You know, like, I love the street. I love the street. Like, I ain't got a bad bone. I have nothing that I could, even for those that I lost in the street into the gang activities, my brother being one of them. My brother was killed 4 5 years ago now. You know, that's the life we lived. We lived that. That's why we put his name on his obituary, because that's my brother. That was us. We lived that life. Now, did we change from that life? We did. But when we lived that life, we didn't live it reckless. We did the things that we were supposed to do to uphold who we were and what we stood for. We never would. I started gangbanging. I watched my teacher in a blue dress get beat up, in a red dress, get beat up by the Crips. And I hated the Crips. I did. I hated them, because I was like, you know, like, why would they beat up my teacher? You know what I'm saying? Like, beat me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, fight me. Don't fight my teacher. Like, they beat this old lady up because she had on a red dress. And that just made me go, I just went left. I just went all the way left. My mama raised us very right, but I didn't do what I had to do because, oh, we didn't have this and we didn't have that. No, my mama did. My mama worked on the same job for 39 years. I give my mother the most respect. My mother is the best mother in the whole wide world. But I wanted, me and my brothers, and we chose to do what we did. But we did it with responsibility within ourselves. We never blamed anybody. That blame didn't come because we didn't have this and we didn't have that. It came because it's one thing when you forced into something, and it's another thing when you choose it. And when you choose it, don't abuse it, you know. And that's one thing that I just didn't. I never abused what we claimed, what we did, and how we did it. We just did it. We had fun doing it. And like I said, changed. I thank God I changed from it to now see the kids that I could go and talk to and show them that me and my husband, them, are a reflection of where we come from, but not what we are. You know, that's not what we are. We not gang banging. We're not doing none of that now. Now we serving. We just helped some of our homeless population move some beds and stuff into their homes from some of our donors. You know, if you looked in my house right now, we got a whole bunch of boxes and towels and house for those that's getting their homes, because they're putting the homeless down here in Atlanta. They're putting them in homes. Miss Camille, big shouts out to her from Partners from Homes. She's doing an awesome and a great job with putting them in. They got the funding, so they're placing them in homes, and we're helping them furnish the homes. You know, that's what our organization also do. Yeah, we're bringing beds, and we got couches, and we got towels, and you know, plates and all kinds of stuff that so many people done donated. The gold stones, they have donated so much for us to help the families. So it's so many levels that God has us on, you know, and have us doing. Right. And this is not even the first time doing the pandemic. God allowed us to see 179 families from hotel to homes. I partnered with Creekside Apartments in Decatur, and they had just opened up them. They were all brand new. We were able to put 179 families from hotel to homes off in there with Commissioner Larry Johnson. And wow, that was one of our, it, because it was during the pandemic, you know, nobody was supposed to be moving. Nobody was supposed to be doing nothing. Nobody was, and we were able to take these families and move them into their own home, peel plastic off of, you know, their microwaves and all of this stuff, and be able to witness. So when I say testimonies, when I say God giving jobs and things for us to do, we have history behind what we have done. And I am not here to leave a legacy to nobody but God. But when I do leave this earth, I can honestly say that I did what God called me to do. And I did it with everything in me. And I did it without having to rob Pete over here and lie to Jones. And, you know, I didn't have to do all that. I didn't have to say, oh, I'm going to stay connected to you in order for you to give me an opportunity. I stayed connected to God, and God gave me an opportunity. I stayed with his faith. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what me and my husband stand on. You know, we stay in that man's face, and that man is blessing us to be a vessel to people that we don't even be knowing, because let me tell you, so we got money like that, you know, but when you got God, he give you the overflow of everything that you're looking for. And so I just pray that people just, if they don't take nothing away from today, just take, trust God, stay in his face, love that man, because he gonna love you.
Word. And listen, that's what I was gonna ask, like, yo, it, you know, because listen, we have, in tonight's conversation, I hope, this is what I'm saying, that's why I'm so thankful for you to finally have come on, because like I said, I see you doing the work. Like, I've seen it myself. And not only that, I know even in the midst of trying to schedule you to come on here, it's been things that came up where you had to be like, yo, I got to do, you know what I mean? Because we understand like what that mean. And I hope people that's watching understand, like when I tell you about LA Pink, she really goes, like, she is in it. Her and Meg, they're in it. And Ashley, in it, you know? And Miss Holmes, they in it. Like, you know, and I want a lot of people to really take away from the conversation that I have with you guys is the fact that you guys are resilient. You all take accountability for your life in general. Not one of y'all have come up here and blamed other people for nothing but the people who did the wrong, but not for what you guys had to, you know, witness or face in being the person that y'all are. And that's what I always loved about it, is that it's just authentic. You guys are all authentic about what you're doing, and you're selfless too, because, you know, a lot of the other people that we yell, that we calling out their names, they really have lost their child. Some of them, their only child.
Yeah.
Right.
Jalen McKenzie. Yes. And he got a trial coming up too, from what they was. I haven't talked directly to Ashley yet to know the details or anything. But from what I was told by Meg said that, you know, that she got a trial coming up, and that's just a blessing, you know, and it's well deserved because, you know, those families in the system turned their backs on them. You know, the owl sharks, the owl snakes, and you know, the all of them. I ain't even gonna get the name and all their names, because they know who they are. You know, they already have painted a false narrative about her son. But I feel like this: if I am a community, well, I guess they're actors, so we can just call them what they are. If you know, but if I'm who I am, I'm a community advocate, I'm a community leader, I'm here just to stand with the parent, right, wrong, or indifference. Because if it's wrong, we're going to make it right. And if it's in between, we're going to find out what the right, the wrong is. But regardless, my job is to stand with you, to love on you, and to bring hope to you. My job is to make sure that you feel love regardless of what your circumstances and situation, because you have just lost your loved one. My job is not to be here to, oh, I'm only gonna march with you if your son didn't do it. I don't care if he did. Because do you know what we did when we was that age? We stole cars. We did everything. That's not a death sentence. That's not a death sentence. So right. I don't care what they did. I don't care how if they wrong or right. I care about that parent because that parent don't have to go through that regardless of people saying, oh, well, that parent got to be a better parent. I was the best. I mean, I was the best I could be as a parent. I was going right. to get my son's friends, and when they ran away and called the mom and asked them, can I have permission to allow them to stay in my home? Because I don't want them on the street, you know, and I don't, right. and I know they don't run away from you, but can I help you and them? Can I bring y'all together? Can we have conversations so that y'all built y'all relationship back up? And I brought families together, and my son strayed away from me, and I began to ask, like, okay, well, hold up, wait a minute, what was wrong? But when a kid wants to do what a kid want to do, they're going to do it regardless. Yeah. No matter how my son tell me right today, mama, you was the best mom, and I just messed up. But it's right now he's telling me that. When he was going through his trial and error, I was the worst thing to him ever. You know, he was making every excuse in the book to say I was wrong. I didn't. I might not should have gave him too much love. I sheltered him. It was always something, because when a child want to do what they want to do, they're going to do it. Yeah. But all you can do is just pray for him. You know, I was that mother that said, God, not my will, but your will be done. It belongs to you. And I gave my son to him, gave him. And I left and I came out here to Georgia. God brought me out here to Georgia. I didn't have no family, no friends, no doors open. I didn't have no job. I didn't have nothing when I came out here, you know, but God. And now I didn't come out here homeless. Mm-hmm. I came out here. God blessed me with a beautiful home at the time. But he began to now say it's time to work. And that's when he began to see how he could stretch me. He was seeing, right. okay, if I make you homeless, will you still trust me? If I, if you don't have a car, will you still trust me?
Trust me.
I didn't have none of this stuff, and I still was doing the same thing that I'm doing right now. You could go back on my Facebook 20 years from now. I'm still doing the same thing, moving. I'm still doing what God asked me to do. Whatever it is he asked me to do, I do it.
Right.
I'm still doing the same thing. I've always been this person. Nothing has changed other than the fact that now he has brought me to a new place. Like I was in Denver at first, and now I'm in, and I wasn't doing exactly this because it didn't have a title on it. See, everything right. in Atlanta has a title. Everything got to be a title. And God only allows you to have something because he, long as he's in it, you know, right. like I said, I call myself a community advocate. I'm not an actor. I call myself a community leader because yes, I lead. I don't follow, you know, and I'm not saying I don't follow, like I don't,
right, you know, right, right. tell me nothing.
Yeah, it's just that I know the direction God has me going in because I'm following him. And if I'm following him, how am I going to follow you? You know what I'm saying? Right. Now, if he instruct me to like he did with my husband, that's different. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. that's an instruction. Yeah. That's a bond that he put for me to. That's something that a covenant, you know, that now I have to do. But before, I didn't have no covenant. So I had my mind strictly on God. Where are we going? Yeah. What are we doing? You know, but I ain't going to talk your ear off.
No, that's it. Because you said it all. I was, before we get out of here, I was going to say, yo, is there anything you want to say to the people? But that's it. You know what I mean? And that's sometimes you got to let the spirit work. You know what I mean? I can't control it all. And you said it all. And I'm thankful, man. Like I said, so this is what we want to do, because we want people to understand, like you said, you don't take everything, but you are mm-hmm. open to hearing what's going on with people.
Absolutely.
So tell people how they can get in contact with you and Street Groomers if they need you guys' assistance.
Absolutely. You can always go on www.streetgroomers.org. You can find a link on there. If you want, if you're looking for Meg has a link on there. If you're looking for Street Groomers, we have something on there. We all work together, but we do. Hey, Meg might take a case that we may not, you know, we'll be involved because, of course, Meg asked us something. But if you want to get in contact with either one of us, we're there. And phone number is 678-984-9241. You can always reach out. Like I said, hey, if I can do it, I'm going to do it. And if I can't, I'm going to let you know I can't.
Right. And what I want a lot of people to do out there, all those that's watching and those that's going to watch the playback, is a lot of names of things that she's working on and things that's working on currently. Even if you're not going through nothing, right? You're not. And, you know, you just want to be a part of something. You want to help out. You want to spread the word. You want to donate, or you want to send encouraging messages or encouraging word, because that goes a long way. Make sure y'all use those same methods of communication to reach out to them in that capacity too as well. Because that goes a long way. We understand it don't take much for you guys to really get involved, but the fact that you get involved, it would be very, very much appreciative. So thank you so much.
Y'all, you guys, don't forget about too. I forgot to mention Rayshon. He and the people that all of them that's in jail that have been wrongly convicted, we coming for y'all. So just know. Hey, y'all have not been forgotten. That's what was hanging in the back of me that failed, y'all. These is our babies that's all locked up, and we coming for them. You know, that's so y'all make sure you have our sister on here too. So Russell, yes,
yeah, Rashonda, mm-hmm. yeah,
Martin.
And that's
well, Martin.
Yeah, Martin Russell. Oh yeah, Rashonda Martin. So yeah, I want y'all to know, man. Yeah, like. They coming and they working. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate all of y'all that watch tonight. And I want y'all to do me a favor. I want y'all to make sure that y'all reach out to her. And like I said, you know, even if you don't have anything going on, still you'll be able to reach out and find out how you can help. And, you know, if you do have something going on, just be mindful that they can try, but they may not guarantee that they can help you right away because they have other things involved. But you just never know. It's a coalition. Yeah. I know if you guys are watching Sparking Conversation, y'all know it's a coalition of different groups of people. They may be in different states, but they all have the same agenda. They're trying to help people. They're trying to help people in these situations that's bad. Remember, Wickedly Judge, I had them on last week, and they got a whole coalition of them trying to help people that have been wrongly convicted. It's a lot. So the only thing is that now it's time to bring all these people together. It's time for us to do conferences. It's time for us to do all of these other things so we can actually move as a unit, because what's next is being able to go to the Senate and be able to go to the House and for us to really get some change going on, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to get change is if people are working together. And we have to be able to work together, all right? So
passing laws. That's what we gotta do. Get some laws passed. If you don't, if you ain't passing laws, and you say you're an organization, have a seat, because that's when you're moving mountains. You have to be able to get off in here and get these people's laws passed that is going to help and be beneficial to your community, or you're going to continue to be at a table that's broken.
Facts. Let's get to it, y'all. Let's get to it. Let's change our mindset. We change our situation. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
So thanks again, LA Pink, for coming on.
Thank you. Shout out to all the speakers.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally had a chance to chop it up. But we're gonna talk more, because I have a panel that I'm putting together. It's a lot going on in the background. I'm working on my end, so we're going to stay in contact. This is not our only time communicating. We're going to keep building, and we're going to keep making it happen, all right?
Let's do it.
I bet. And to all of y'all out there that watch tonight, thank y'all so much. And for all of y'all that's going to continue to rock out with your boy, y'all know where I'm at, right here each and every week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sparking Conversation. And I tell y'all this each and every week. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, y'all, peace.
Peace.